stand-up historian. Those who tell stories rule society.
Hello and welcome to Stand Up Historian. My name is Kurosh and I bring this podcast to you from beautiful Seattle, Washington. Fall is here. Beautiful, gorgeous fall of Washington has nothing like it. I don't believe anywhere in the world is going to be as beautiful as Seattle. I'm sure wherever you live, it's great, but you should check Washington in fall. Tonight, I want to continue with the second part of the Epic of Kings, the famous Persian book Shahnameh. And in the first part, I introduced to you the first Persian kings, Kumars, Hushang, Tamures, and Jamshid. And Jamshid, the fourth one and the most powerful one, is the person that our story starts with, his fate and what happened to him because he was uplifted in pride and proclaimed himself to be God, and he sent his image everywhere to be worshipped, and God withdrew his hand from Jamshid. And the kings and nobles rose up against him and removed the warriors from his army and his court. And now Ahriman is entering into the scene. Let's continue and see what happened to Jamshid. Now there dwelt in the deserts of Arabia a king named Mirtaz, generous and just. And he had a son, Zahak, whom he loved, and it came about that Ahriman visited the palace disguised as a noble. He tempted Zahak that he should depart from the path of virtue, and he spake unto him and said,
"If thou wilt listen to me and enter into a covenant, I will raise thy head above the sun."
Now the young man was guileless and simple of heart, and he swore unto the thief that he would obey him in all things. Then Ahriman bade him slay his father, "For this old man," he said,
"cumbereth the ground, and while he liveth, thou wilt remain."
When Zahak heard this, he was filled with grief and would have broken his oath. But Ahriman suffered him not, but made him set a trap for Mirtaz. In other way, Ahriman came up with a simple plot that Zahak will kill his father, but not directly. And Zahak and the evil Ahriman held their peace, and Mirtaz fell into the snare and was killed. This is a pattern that we'll see throughout Shahnameh, that there is always plots and there are always cunning people digging a hole and causing people to fall or setting up traps for heroes of our stories in Shahnameh and kill them. So Zahak also killed his father. Then Zahak placed the crown of Tisis upon his head. And Ahriman taught him the arts of magic, and he ruled over his people in good and evil, for he was not wholly given up to God. Then Ahriman imagined a device in his black heart. He took upon himself the form of a youth and craved that he might serve the king as cook. And Zohak, who knew him not, received him well and granted his request. And the keys of the kitchen were given unto him. Now men had been nourished with herbs, and Ahriman prepared flesh for Zohak. New dishes did he put before him, and the royal favor was accorded to his savory meat. And the flesh gave the king courage and strength like to that of a lion. And he commanded that his cook should be brought before him and ask a boon at his hand. And the cook said,
"If the king take pleasure in his servant, grant that he may kiss his shoulders."
So here we see that prior to this plot by Ahriman, king was vegetarian and he became carnivore. Seems like that. Now he asks the king to kiss his shoulders. Now Zohak, who feared no evil, granted the request. And Ahriman kissed him on his shoulders. And when he had done so, the ground opened beneath his feet and covered the cook, so that all men present were amazed thereat. But from his kiss sprang hissing serpents, venomous and black, and the king was afraid. And he desired that they should be cut off from the root. But as often as the snakes were cut down, did they grow again. And in vain the wise men and physicians cast about for a remedy. The Ahriman came once again, disguised as a learned man, and was led before Zohak, and he spake, saying,
"This ill cannot be healed, neither can the serpents be uprooted. Prepare food for them, therefore, that they may be fed, and give unto them for nourishment the brains of men. For perchance this may destroy them."
But in his secret heart, Ahriman desired that the world might thus be made desolate. And daily were the serpents fed. And the fear of the king was great in the land. And the world withered in his thrall. The customs of good men were forgotten, and the desires of the wicked were accomplished. Now it was spread abroad in Iran that in the land of Tarsus there reigned a man who was mighty and terrible to his foes. Then the kings and nobles who had withdrawn from Jamshid, because he had rebelled against God, turned to Zohak and besought him that he would be their ruler. And they proclaimed him Shah, which was a Persian title. So Zohak comes from Arabia. He has the serpents on his shoulders. Every day he has to feed the serpents with brain of man. And as Ferdowsi tells us, Ahriman wanted to destroy humanity. World might thus be made desolate. Isn't that what we see today? There are Zohaks all around, that they have nothing in their hearts but to destroy humanity and eating their brains. Eating their brains today is mass formation, psychological warfare against humanity, and so many other things that is going on. So there's nothing new under the sun. Ferdowsi is telling us the story. So now that Jamshid was fallen from the favor, Persians go and invite Zahak to come to Iran and become the Shah. And Shah is a Persian title. And the armies of Arabia and Persia marched against Jamshid, and he fled before his face. For the space of twice 50 years, no man knew where he was gone. For he hid from the wrath of Serpent King Zahak. So Jamshid is in hiding. But in the fullness of time, he could no longer escape the fury of Zahak, whose servants found him as he wandered on the seashore of Cathay, and they sawed him in twain, and sent tidings therefore to their lord. And thus perished the throne and power of Jamshid, like unto the grass that withers, because that he was grown proud and would have lifted himself above his maker. So up until here, we see that Jamshid became very proud and God takes his hand from him and all the troubles starts, and eventually it's Zahak and his servants that they kill Jamshid in a terrible way. They cut him in half. They saw him in half. So the question is, couldn't God just forgive him? He was at some time a very dear to him. But we see that he allows Ahriman to come in and for a while take place and take the kingdoms and feel like, okay, I'm winning. I'm running the show now. But let's continue. And let this be a lesson for us, that if we see ungodly and evil people ruling today, the story is not finished. The best part is ahead. So the beloved of Ahriman, Zahak the serpent, sat upon the throne of Iran, the kingdom of light, and he continued to pile evil upon evil, till the measure therefore was full of overflowing. And all the land cried out against him. But Zahak and his counselors, the thieves, shut ear unto this cry. And the Shah reigned thus for the space of 1,000 years, and vice stalked in daylight, but virtue was hidden. As I'm recording this episode, there is an uprising in Iran. My prayers with everybody there that is standing against the Zahak of this time, Zahak of our time, and those thieves that helping him under the guise of a government, security, and police forces. They are nothing but Zahak and his thieves, and they will also join Zahak. Let me continue, and you will see how Zahak ended. And despair filled all hearts, for it was as though mankind must perish to steal the appetite of those snakes sprung from evil. For daily were two men slaughtered to satisfy their desire. Neither had Zahak mercy upon any man. And darkness was spread over the land because of his wickedness. But Urmast saw it and was moved with compassion for his people, and he declared they should no longer suffer for the sin of Jamshid. And he caused a grandson to be born to Jamshid, and his parents called him Feridun. Never, ever give up hope and faith in presence of God in our lives, and He will intervene. Okay, let me continue. This is a great story. Now it befell that when he was born, Feridun, Zahawk dreamed he beheld a youth, a slender like to a cypress, and he came towards him bearing a cow-headed mace, and with it he struck Zahawk to the ground. Then the tyrant awoke and trembled, and called for his mubets, that they should interpret to him this dream. And they were troubled, for they foresaw danger, and he menaced them if they foretold him evil. And they were silent for fear for 3 days. But on the fourth, one who had courage spake and said, "There will arise one named Feridun, who shall inherit thy throne and reverse thy fortunes, and strike thee down with a cow-headed mace." When Zahawk heard these words, he swooned, and the mubets fled before his wrath. But when he had recovered, he bade the world be scoured for Feridun, and henceforth Zahawk was consumed for bitterness of spirit, and he knew neither rest nor joy. Now it came about that the mother of Feridun feared lest the Shah should destroy the child if he learned that he was sprung from Jamshid's race. So she hid him in the thick forest. There dwelt the wondrous cow Purmaya, whose hairs were like unto the plumes of a peacock for beauty. And she prayed the guardian of Purmaya to have a care for her son, and for 3 years he was reared in the woods, and Purmaya was his nurse. But when the time was accomplished, the mother knew that news of Purmaya had reached the ears of Zahawk, and she feared he would find her son. Therefore, she took him into Ind, which is India, to a pious hermit who dwelt on the Mount Alborz. And she prayed that the hermit to guard her son, who was destined for mighty needs. And the hermit granted her request, and it befell that while she sojourned with him, Zahawk had found the beautiful Purmaya and learned of Feridun. And when he heard that the boy was fled, he was like unto a mad elephant in his fury. He slew wondrous cow Purmaya and all the living things round about, and made the forest a desert. Then he continued his search, but neither tidings nor sight could be get of Feridun, and his heart was filled with anguish. In this year Zahawk caused his army to be strengthened, and he demanded of his people that they should certify that he had ever been to them a just and noble king. And they obeyed for very fear. But while they swore, there arose without the doorway of the Shah the cry of one who demanded justice. And Zahawk commanded that he should be brought in. So Zahawk is fearful, and he knows what he has done has consequences. he asked his people to come and testify that Zahak is a great king, he's a just king. And while he's doing this propaganda campaign, somebody knocks at the palace's door and he said, I'm here to get justice. And what's better than something so sudden as that? And Zahak, just to show to the media and to the people that how great and just he is, he says, bring him in. Then Zahak opened his mouth and said, I charge thee, give a name unto him who hath done thee wrong. And the man, when he saw it was the Shah who questioned him, smote his head with his hands. But he answered and said, I am Kaveh, a blacksmith, and a blameless man, and I sue for justice, and it is against thee, O king, that I cry out. 17 fair sons have I called mine, yet only one remains to me, for that his brethren were slain to steal the hunger of thy serpents, and now they have taken from me the last child also. I pray thee, spare him unto me, nor heap thy cruelties upon the land past bearing. And the Shah feared Kaveh's wrath, beholding that it was great, and he granted him the life of his son, and sought to win him with soft words. Then he prayed him that he would also signed the testimony that Zahak was a just and noble king. Okay, the show for the media was great. Now Zahak asks Kaveh, hey, why don't you sign this petition that shows I am great? But Kaveh cried, not so, thou wicked and ignoble man, a lie of thieves, I will not lend my hand unto this lie. And he seized the declaration and tore it into fragments and scattered them into the air. And when he had done so, he strode forth from the palace, and all the nobles and people were astonished, so that none dared uplift a finger to restrain him. Then Kaveh went to the marketplace and related to the people all that which he had seen, and recalled to them the evil deeds of Zahak and the wrongs they had suffered at his hands. And he provoked them to shake off the yoke of Ahriman, and taking off the leathern apron wherewith blacksmiths cover their knees when they strike with the hammer, he raised it aloft upon the point of a lance and cried, be this our banner to march forth and seek out Freydun and entreat him that he deliver us from out the hands of the serpent king. Then the people set up a shout of joy and gathered themselves around Kaveh. And he led them out of the city, bearing aloft his standard. And they marched thus for many days unto the palace of Feridun. This was a revolution. This is a beautiful scene described. Keep in mind, this is just English translation. When you read this in these epic poems in Persian language, it just boils your blood and you can find yourself in that exact moment. I'm doing my best to relay the message to them. So this was the first revolution of history, the first uprising, and hopefully it will happen again for humanity to stand up against demons that they are ruling us today. Let's continue. Now these things came about in the land of Iran. After twice 8 years were passed over the head of Fereydun, in other words, he was 16, and when that time was accomplished, he descended from the Mount Elbrus and sought out his mother, questioning her of his lineage. And she told him how that he was sprung from the race of Jamshid and also of Zuhaq and of his evil deeds. This is incredible. You have stories in Bible and Torah or Old Testament, and even the character of Christ, you see, he comes from a lineage that there are great people and there are sinners. So Fereydun comes from both lineage of Jamshid and Zuhaq, both good and bad in him. Then said Fereydun, I will uproot this monster from the earth, and his palace will I raise to the dust. But his mother spake and said, not so, my son. Let not thine youthful anger betray thee. For how canst thou stand against all the world? Yet not long did she suffer the hard task to hinder him, for soon a mighty crowd came towards the palace, led by one who bare an apron uplifted upon a lance. Then Fereydun knew that a scour was come unto him. And when he had listened to Kaveh, he came into the presence of his mother with the helmet of kings upon his head, and he said unto her mother, Mother, I got to the wars, and I remained for thee to pray God for my safety. This is the first uprising. This is a leader of a revolution. Forget about the French Revolution or Russian Revolution or anything like that. This was prior to all these things in history. This is a 16-year-old becoming a leader, and Kaveh with his uplifted apron, which just a note here that the same uplifted apron, that the leather apron, became the Persian flag, and all the empires that was formed after these stories, they used it, and they always called it Kaveh's standard. And every king, every dynasty added more jewels and turned it into something more than just the leather apron. And it disappeared after the invasion of Muslims, unfortunate event. Let's continue. So Fereydun is ready to go to war and asks his mother to pray for her. Then he caused a mighty club to be made for him, and he traced the pattern thereof upon the ground, and the top thereof was the head of a cow in memory of Purmaya, his nurse. Then he cased the standard of Kaveh in rich brocades of Rome and hung jewels upon it. And when all was made ready, they set forth towards the west to seek out Zuhaq, for they knew not that he was gone to Ind in search of Fereydun. Now when they were come to Baghdad, which is upon the banks of the Tigris, they halted. And Fereydun bade the guardians of the flood convey them across. But these refused, saying, the king bade them not should pass, save only those who bore the royal seal. When Fereydun heard these words, he was wroth, and he regarded not the rushing river, nor the dangers hidden within its floods. He girded his loins and plunged with his steed into the waters. And all the army followed after him. Now they struggled sore with the rushing stream, and it seemed as though the waves would bear them down. But their brave horses overcame all dangers, and they stepped in safety upon the shore. Then they turned their faces towards the city, which is now called Jerusalem. For here stood the glorious house that Zadok had builded. And when they had entered the city, all the people rallied around Fereydoun, for they hated Zadok and looked to Fereydoun to deliver him. Messiah? Maybe. And he slew the thieves that held the palace and cast down the evil talisman that was graven upon the walls. Then he mounted the throne of the idolater and placed the crown of Iran upon his head. And all the people bowed down before him and called him Shah. Now when Zadok returned from his search after Fereydoun and learned that he was seated upon his throne, he encompassed the city with his host. But the army of Fereydoun marched against him, and the desires of the people went with them. And all that day, bricks fell from the walls and stones from the terraces. And it rained arrows and spears like to hail falling from a dark cloud, until Fereydoun had overcome the might of Zadok. Then Fereydoun raised his cow-headed mace to slay the serpent king. But the blessed Sarush swooped down and cried, "Not so, strike not, for Zadok's hour is not yet come." Then the Sarush bade the Shah bind the usurper and carry him far from the haunts of men, and there fasten him to a rock. And Fereydoun did as he was bidden, and led forth Zadok to the Mount Damavand. And he bound him to the rock with mighty chains and nails driven into his hands, and left him to perish in agony. And the hot sun shone down upon the barren cliffs, and there was neither tree nor shrub to shelter him. And the chains entered into his flesh, and his tongue was consumed with thirst. Thus, after a while, the earth was delivered of Zadok and evil ones, and Fereydoun reigned in his instead. This was a beautiful story from Shahnameh, the Epic of Kings, which is the story of, I would like to call it, the first revolution, the first true leader. A man comes from the commons, from among the people, a blacksmith, seeking justice and stand up against the evil. And a young man, supported by the army that Kaveh brings to him, and he leads the people to victory, and he cleans the world from the evils of a tyrant. Sounds familiar? It's been repeating itself over and over and over. So I hope that by listening to this story, you find more optimistic views of future, more hope for future. And remember, the important part was when Ahura Mazda, he said, "Enough is enough. I'm going to interfere." Then nothing could stop this flood until Zadok was destroyed. I will continue the stories of Shahnameh, the Epic of Kings, for you in future podcasts. Please visit my website at standuphistorian.com. I also post some of these podcasts on my YouTube channel. You can also find them there and listen to them. And I usually accompany these talks with some relevant videos. I hope you can subscribe on YouTube. Thank you very much. I enjoy it. I hope you enjoy it as much as I did. God bless, and until the next time.